Chapter 25. Rachel Sexton felt a dreamlike mist swirling around her as she walked across the habosphere, flanked by Michael Tolland. Corky and Ming followed close behind.
"You okay?" Tolland asked, watching her.
Rachel glanced over, giving a weak smile.
"Thanks, it's just so much."
Her mind reeled back to the infamous 1996 NASA discovery, ALH-84001, a Mars meteorite that NASA claimed contained fossil traces of bacterial life. Sadly, only weeks after NASA's triumphant press conference, several civilian scientists stepped forward with proof that the rock's signs of life were really nothing more than kerogen produced by terrestrial contamination. NASA's credibility had taken a huge hit over that gaffe. The New York Times took the opportunity to sarcastically redefine the agency's acronym, NASA, not always scientifically accurate. In that same edition, paleobiologist Stephen Jay Gould summed up the problem with ALH-84001 by pointing out that the evidence in it was chemical and inferential, rather than solid, like an unambiguous bone or shell. Now, however, Rachel realized NASA had found irrefutable proof. No skeptical scientist could possibly step forward and question these fossils. NASA was no longer touting blurry, enlarged photos of alleged microscopic bacteria. They were offering up real meteorite samples where bioorganisms visible to the naked eye had been embedded in the stone. Foot-long lice. Rachel had to laugh when she realized she'd been a childhood fan of a song by David Bowie that referred to spiders from Mars. Few would have guessed how close the androgynous British pop star would come to foreseeing astrobiology's greatest moment. As the distant strains of the song ran through Rachel's mind, Corky hurried up behind her.
"Has Mike bragged about his documentary yet?"
Rachel replied.
"No, but I'd love to hear about it."
Corky slapped Tolland on the back.
"Go for it, big boy. Tell her why the president decided that the most important moment in science history should be handed over to a snorkeling TV star."
Tolland groaned.
"Corky, if you don't mind."
"Fine, I'll explain,"
Corky said, prying his way in between them.
"As you probably know, Miss Sexton, the president will be giving a press conference tonight to tell the world about the meteorite. Because the vast majority of the world is made up of half-wits, the president asked Mike to come aboard and dumb everything down for them."
"Thanks, Corky," Tolland said. "Very nice." He looked at Rachel. What Corky's trying to say is that because there's so much scientific data to convey, the president thought a short visual documentary about the meteorite might help make the information more accessible to mainstream America, many of whom, oddly, don't have advanced degrees in astrophysics.
"Did you know," Corky said to Rachel, "that I've just learned our nation's president is a closet fan of Amazing Seas?"
He shook his head in mock disgust.
"Zach Herney, the ruler of the free world, has his secretary tape Mike's program so he can decompress after a long day."
Tolland shrugged.
"The man's got taste, what can I say?"